We're back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. The summer is behind us. The fall is ahead of us. And who am I sitting with again? Gary Goldman. That's who you are, isn't it?
Jeffrey, it's so great to be here.
When did you walk in here?
Oh, just a few minutes ago. I figured, why don't we have a show today?
Wow, you brought all these food people in here today.
Yeah. Right. That's because it's the five-star food show, and that's what we're talking about.
Do you think that they all eat ice cream?
I do think that they do. And as a matter of fact, I know the guest that we're about to interview, Stephen Peljevic, from Michael's Deli in Brookline.
Yeah,
he knows all about ice cream, but he also knows a lot about deli.
I can't bring my wife into Michael's Deli.
Why not?
Because she wants to buy everything.
It's a good problem.
Everything. Compulsive about, I want this and I want that and I want this and I want that. It's unbelievable. Michael, great to have you on the show. Great deli.
Thanks.
We want to hear your story.
I don't know if it's that interesting, but I'll give it a shot.
It's a deli. It's a good story.
Well, just give us a little
in
bit
an
of history
of dying delis.
Yeah,
You went counter the trend because I know because of my food experience that deli's a hard business to be in because it's a lot of labor for a low priced item.
Absolutely.
Right.
So, So I've been in the restaurant business for 20 plus years, running big restaurants, corporations, all that sort of stuff. And about 6-7 years ago, I'd had enough of making money for other people and having to make their decisions for them and not the decisions I wanted to make. So I started looking for my own opportunity. And this story is one that nobody really believes, but it's absolutely true. My father-in-law is a deli maven, and he found Michael's Deli probably 8, 9, 10 years ago and has been a regular there every Saturday and Sunday after he does his walk on Castle Island. He'd come by, grab some stuff from Michael, and be happy with it. And he'd started talking to Michael years ago that if he was ever willing to sell, that he might know somebody who was interested because I was, again, looking for another opportunity. So my father-in-law walks in probably now 6.5-ish years ago, says to Michael, "Man, you look tired today." And Michael said back to him, "You know, I think I am ready to retire. Why don't you call your son-in-law?" And
very cool.
We came in, I met with him, and the rest, they say, is history. So I've...
Are you glad that you did it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Best movie ever made?
Well, if my wife's listening, I shouldn't answer that, right?
Gary, that was probably the worst remark you've ever made.
Business-wise, best decision I ever made.
But Steve, you know, I used to live in Coolidge Corner. I still miss it. My son still gripes to me 20 years later that we moved out of Coolidge Corner. You've got a great little corner in there. And tell us about the deli, the community, how you're sort of integrated into that whole square.
Well, the thing about Michael's Deli, I mean, it's been around for 40 years. Started out in Marblehead, and he brought it down to Coolidge Corner about 18 years ago now. And, I mean, the community itself is just really supportive of small mom-and-pop businesses. If you walk, Coolidge Corner is one of the few places that is still has that feel to it. The big box stores typically don't get in there, and when they do, they don't typically do well, just because that whole area at large really is supportive of people that are, you know, people that they get to know, they get to have relationships with, and it sort of has that whole family, this huge family feel in my tiny little space.
And there's tremendous foot traffic in that area. There's a lot of people going. You just have to, how do you capture them and bring them into the store?
Well, thankfully, people on the street like to talk about how good my food is. I hate, it's hard for me
nowadays,
to talk about it that way.
Nowadays, to find a good deli, it's a gold mine.
Yeah, I grew up in Miami Beach, and, I was in
Rascal House.
Yeah, Rascal House. I grew up in a town called Surfside,
right,
which literally has like a two-block main street.
I miss Rascal House.
And yeah, that there's not. There's
I used to go to
like
Rascal House just to stand in the queues.
With the old
Jewish broads and harass them in the line because they were so cute.
I used to love.
I thought it was to go to the beach, Jeffrey.
No, I love the Rascal. I love the chicken in the pot at the Rascal House.
It's great when you walk into the Rascal House. I can remember this. You know, it's like different chain link lines for parties. And they had 0 to 1.
And salted sizzle rolls.
0 to 1. Like, what's zero? Like who's coming in? You know, why do they have zero?
They had the best salted sizzle rolls on the planet.
They had some great. And, you know, there's nothing like those kind of places that you walk into and there's already like a meal on the table before you sit down. God knows who touched it and who went through it. But you walk
Thanks
in there and there's like
it for
the
me.
Pickles, the Danishes, the rolls are all sitting there. And you're ready to go before you've even ordered.
So in your place, Michael's, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to establish? How are you driving your business?
Well, I think what I'm trying to establish is memories. Like, people always ask me, like, why do I do what I do? And it's like, I want people to come in and say, this reminds me of what it smells like in my grandmother's kitchen or whatever is that sort of
before my grandfather experience. Dropped dead of a cardiac.
It's not just, yeah, exactly. So it's not just the food.
Do you have the Knishes wafting into the street somehow?
You know, if I could start a candle company that was just deli smells, mm-hmm. we could figure out a way to do that with like MIT.
I hate to be so morose, but you know, I used to say as a kid, I used to like Shivas because it brought the family together. Do you do catering too?
We do a ton of catering.
I would assume.
And unfortunately, that's a big part of my business, but it's one that my staff and I take really seriously. Like it's a time where people need us. We try to make it as simple and streamlined as possible for them. And again, sort of be able to provide them comfort with the food that we bring to their houses. You know, for me, it's a lot more fun to do catering for corporations or
But where are you doing
Bruins
it?
I mean, or the
at least from window view, you look like a small location. Have you got a bigger commissary downstairs?
No.
Are there elves down in the basement?
So you have to make really good use of your space.
People don't believe me when I tell them that my kitchen is no bigger than this room.
So it's like the Keebler elves.
Somehow we're able to bang out, you know, 400 or 500 pounds of corned beef a week out of this gigantic pot cooking, you know, 60-70 pounds a day. And like I said, I mean, people walk into the place, it's a small little narrow place and they're like, where's the kitchen? I'm like, oh, it's right back there. It's about the size of the bathroom that you can use.
So you're running a business. You know how to be efficient, you're saying.
Oh, I think you have no choice when it's that sort of space. So the day starts, you know, you were talking about the deli life being a hard life. It's not a life that starts at 9 o'clock. You know, I'm there at 5 o'clock in the morning starting to cook stuff because we are cooking stuff all day long to your point, because we have to be efficient. There's stuff that's getting cooked as late as 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so it's ready for the next day, and it's, you know, we're ready to roll.
And there's a lot of planning involved, particularly if you're in the catering end of things, if you have two or three things going on at the same time.
And what are you most proud of all the foods that you sell?
Oh, geez. That's a tough question. People always ask me, like, what my favorite thing is, and I ask them if they have kids. And I'm like, can you tell me who your favorite kid is if they were standing right in front of you? I was like, this is all my stuff. I think it's the fact that I'm proud of the fact that if you're going to eat it, I know that it's fresh and I know that it's good. And if it's not, it's because me or my staff screwed something up, not because we opened up a bag that was out of date or we reheated it improperly. Like, we're starting with, you know, I get my raw meats in from the Bronx. We're starting with the food that has been made that way for generations. And to be able to stay true to that is probably what I'm most proud of. Delis are dying because of the work. And, you know, people always say, oh, well, yeah, this seems like it's such a good life. It's such an easy life.
I'm like, yeah, everybody says, where can I find a good deli? You must hear that a million times. Yeah.
You know, where I'm from, Montreal or New York, you always say, oh, you're in Boston. You know, you can't get a good deli. But it's actually changing.
I think so. I mean, for me, I'd rather have more of them coming up, because the biggest problem I have is that people walk into my shop and they're like, I'm paying $10 for a sandwich. And I'm like, it is not the
good
same
deli sandwich.
It's a deli. It's not a sandwich shop. And there's a real
right.
And that's sort of where I'll get a little defensive. Like there's a complete distinction, because the quantity and the quality of the meat that you're getting is nothing like you're going to get.
So you brought us stuff today.
Yes.
And I was one of the bigger indulgers of what you brought. It didn't take long to wolf it down. Tell us about what you brought us today, because it was delicious.
So Knishes are one of those like old school deli items. I mean, you know, corned beef pastrami, all those sorts of things. Those are the staples of a deli, but a knish was sort of like the working man's food. If you look it up and if you try to find out the history of knishes, it was really food carts in the streets of New York that someone could grab something that was hand, you know, fits in their hand,
like a hot
wouldn't
dog.
Wouldn't make a mess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so for those of you who don't know, because I get asked it all the time, a knish is like a giant pigs in a blanket. A pierogi, a dumpling, a beef empanada, a Jamaican beef patty. Every culture has some version of food wrapped in dough and then baked off in the oven. So I carry 9 different knishes at any given point in time. 6 of them are staples. And every week I do 3 oddball ones just to have some fun cooking.
Is that a very big seller for you, knishes?
If he's doing 6 of them a week,
yeah.
It continues to grow?
It's definitely something. And again, when I took over the deli, I think he was selling 3 different kinds of knishes, mm-hmm. and he was only making one of them.
What are the six for our listeners? Make them hungry.
So the so the six standards are, you have to have potato.
Yep.
We have beef.
Yep.
We have kasha. Those are sort of three kasha, old school traditional in. Ones. We also have pastrami.
Yum.
I make a spinach knish. Mm. And then the
original... With feta cheese or no feta cheese?
No, just it's just mushroom, potato, okay. Potato, spinach, garlic, seasonings, yeah. Nice and simple. And then the original crazy knish is the one that I called the Michigas. And hopefully people understand.
And you're going to team means. With Gary and do the ice cream knish, right?
You know, I've done a lot of different dessert knishes. The biggest failure knish when that's coming is my son. So my kids have their birthdays. They get to pick what three knishes they want, what three of their favorite foods. And so when my youngest son was probably 5 or 6 years old, he said, can you do a cake in a knish? So I wasn't going to bake a cake and do all, I literally bought a cake icing at like knish. The supermarket, cut it up, put it into a knish and baked it. And what came out was like just this flat thing of dough with like sugar juice all over the pan.
How was it?
Well, it was a failure. I had to scrap it and start over.
I would eat an ice cream. If I was at a Jewish steakhouse, an old style New York Jewish steakhouse, and they had an ice cream knish on the menu for dessert, I would order it just to try it.
Well, I guess it's like a, you know, profiterole filled with ice cream.
Exactly.
We've done ice cream pieces before.
How do you... Like a frozen Napoleon.
All right. Well, that's a lot more work than I want to do.
Yeah. You're already doing enough work. So has the clientele changed over the years?
I think one of the things that people ask me similar stuff all the time. If I had to guess, I'd say at least half of my guests on a regular week did not grow up eating in traditional delis. And they've sort of learned, getting back to that point of like why the sandwich costs what it is, why it is what it is. They sort of learned that, whoa, this is like real food and it's a huge amount. But again, getting back to like Brookline, I'm fortunate that I have the old Jewish community that sort of respects and honors what a deli is supposed to be.
The standards.
Yeah, yeah. That keep me in line also, because they're like, wait a minute, that's not the way you're supposed to do it. You know, that's not the way my grandmother did it. What are you doing? I'm like, oh, I got a little bit of a flair to it. My parents were from Cuba, so I spice it up a little bit. I spice it up a little bit differently.
Do you do that with like the soups, the chicken soup and the other stuff too?
No, the chicken soup I try to stay pretty standard with. It's really, you know, whether it be the holiday brisket or some of the different stuff I'll do. You know, I'll make knishes out of Cuban food all the time or the gefilte fish that I make that's got a Latin spin on it. It's more like a ceviche because it's got the citrus and the garlic and the peppers and the onions, which is not a way traditionally gefilte fish would be made. And that sort of adheres to like the younger generation who is, you know, the foodies out there who want to see something new and inventive and fun. So we try to fill them.
I'm just going to go back to really, do you cook with chicken fat?
Of course. Of course. I have people who will call me in the morning going, hey, I want to just pick up a pound of schmaltz. Can you get me some? Because I got big, huge blocks of it downstairs in my freezer.
You ever make grievous?
No. No, I mean, we've played with it just for ourselves to eat and stuff like that. But I think that goes beyond what most people...
want it, but don't want it.
I already feed the hospital. You know, I already feed enough traffic down to Longwood Medical Center.
We would put Gary back in the hospital within 5 minutes.
let's talk about one other thing before we go. And that is you're a very charitable individual. You're connected with a lot of organizations, with Bruins, charities, et cetera, et cetera. And I know you've been involved with a hurricane relief. Why don't you talk a little bit about that, please?
Well, I think that goes back to my parents, you know, and one of the things that, one of the big reasons why I left the corporate life, in the shortest version of a story I could tell you, one of the restaurants I used to run was right across the street from a Red Cross donor center in a town that should remain unnamed just to keep everybody safe. And so they were having a big blood drive after something that had happened. This is probably going back like 10, 12 years now. And so I had my staff wearing Red Cross blood drive pins to try to get people to go down the street to donate blood. And my regional manager came in and he's like, what is that? I was like, they're doing a big blood drive across the street. I told him we'd try to support it. He goes, that's not part of the uniform. Have them all take it off right now. And in my head, I'm like, are you out of your mind? And so one of the best things that now I own my own business, I can do whatever I want. And so when I want to help out different organizations, I can. You know, we partner with the Sean Thornton Foundation. We created a sandwich with Sean 5.5 years ago. And even though he's not in town anymore, we still sell that sandwich. We still donate proceeds of it to his foundation. I do stuff with the Greg Hill Foundation. We do stuff with Team MR8 for the marathon. We sponsor a runner every year. We just did stuff with, unfortunately, with both hurricanes that happened. I donated 10% of sales the day after both incidences to the Red Cross to help people. And it's just one of the things that, like, my parents taught me, like, when you can, you try to help. And if I can help with my business, it's great. And then for me, it's like nothing better than when my kids are following me on social media and they're liking or sharing those sorts of stories with their friends. And then it becomes this whole, you don't do it for that sort of accolade, but you sort of go home feeling like I did the right thing today.
Wonderful, Steve. Wonderful place. Been there many times. Somebody wants to find you. Let's tell them before we go.
We're right in the heart of Coolidge Corner at 256 Harvard Street, right off of Beacon Street.
They can order online too.
They can. We have a delivery companies that we work with. My contact information is right on the website, which is easy. It's just
so Michael's. That's how they get a hold of you.
Michael'sDeliBrookline.com. You can find me. I'm always great. There.
And catering too.
Thank you so much for
joining
us.
Thanks for being
us.
On the show today. Wonderful.
My pleasure.
We come
thanks,
back
guys.
Again.
Yeah,
bring
you
a
let
sandwich.
Me know.
We're going to do it.
Great. That's great. Thank you very
all
much.
Right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate
my
it.
My name is Jeffrey Davis. We've been enjoying ourselves at Michael's Deli.
I'm Gary Goldman, and I was along with you, Jeffrey. This is tremendous.
Yeah, but you didn't eat that stuff.
No, I know.
You want it, but you don't eat it. You can't.
The healthier.
I'll bring you some turkey next time.
Sounds good.
All right. My name is Jeffrey Davis. We're going to take a break. This is Radio Entrepreneurs.